1260 AM Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Justin Finch. There's been some progress in getting civilians out of war-torn Gaza, says ABC's Melissa Adan.
Hundreds of civilians allowed out of Gaza through the Rafah border crossing into Egypt. But hundreds of Americans and their families are still stuck in Gaza.
We're in a situation where safe passage for wounded Palestinians and foreign nationals to exit Gaza has started.
The White House facing mounting pressure to address the humanitarian crisis in Gaza.
President Biden told a Minnesota fundraiser he thought a humanitarian pause is necessary. Funding for Israel, top of mind on Capitol Hill. House Speaker Mike Johnson wants to go forward with money for Israel if the White House redirects money currently intended to expand the IRS. Republican George Santos is staying in Congress after a vote to expel the New Yorker facing nearly two dozen felony charges failed. This is ABC News. With opening statements done in the trial of a yoga teacher accused of murder in a love triangle, new DNA evidence is expected to be put before the jury today. Caitlin Armstrong is accused of murdering a professional cyclist, Mo Wilson. More from ABC's Rhiannon Alley.
After 43 days on the run, U.S. Marshals captured Armstrong working at a hostel teaching yoga. Authorities believe her motive was jealousy, allegedly killing Wilson when she thought Wilson was dating her ex-boyfriend. Armstrong has pleaded not guilty. Her lawyers argue she was never seen in person or on video at the crime scene, and they deny Armstrong was trying to flee when she traveled to Costa Rica.
And Netflix is trying to get you to binge a bit more. The streaming service now says for anyone on its ad-supported tier, if you watch three episodes of a show in a row, you'll get the fourth one ad-free. Justin Finch, ABC News.
It's fully leaded education talk. Hard facts with a humorous twist. Check out Busted Pencils, Tuesdays at 7 on Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK and on the Civic Media app.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips that you plan in advance, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends for which you make a group chat 3 months before so that nobody or anything is missing? Or your daughter's first birthday party? You planned it with such dedication that instead of the first, it felt like our quinces. The same way you plan each detail for those moments. Start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Protecting your family is the best plan you can make. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Say it with me, the Bucks in six. And you can catch every play, every score, every Milwaukee Bucks game on Lake Air Radio, WLAK, 1260 AM in Amory. Your station for the Milwaukee Bucks, your hometown radio refreshed.
Rejected the lawsuit. She says it's a policy matter for lawmakers to consider and not a matter for the courts. Chief Justice Annette Ziegler joined Bradley's dissent. Interested parties have until the 14th to weigh in. Open enrollment in the health insurance marketplace is underway. Democratic state lawmakers are reintroducing bills they say will make health care in Wisconsin better and more affordable. One bill would expand Badger Care eligibility for some people up to 133% of the federal poverty level. Another bill would create a Badger Care public option to buy health coverage on the state exchange. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
Raptors dominate the Bucks. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Milwaukee took on the Raptors last night in Toronto and ran into a buzzsaw. The final 130-111 in favor of Toronto. Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin was an assistant coach for the Raptors. Before that, a longtime NBA player. Bucks point guard Damian Lillard says players appreciate that.
I think anytime you have a former player as a coach, you automatically are one with them. You know, they understand our day-to-day. They understand our lives. They understand, you know, what goes into this game.
The Bucks are now 2-2. They host the Knicks tomorrow night. NFL fallout from the Packers' decision to trade starting defensive back Rasul Douglas to the Buffalo Bills in exchange for a third-round draft pick. I asked Matt LaFleur if Douglas had stepped out of line as a vocal leader in the locker room.
Now I want to set that down right away. It has nothing to do. I think he's been a positive impact in that locker room. So absolutely not.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Disabled or an elderly Medicare beneficiary with questions about Part D prescription benefits? The Disability Rights Wisconsin Medicare Part D helpline is here for you.
Here's your updated forecast. Mainly cloudy today with highs around 41. Southwesterly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, lows around 28. Slight chance for scattered showers tomorrow, 46. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 23.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. Connecting with you on air, online, and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM, WLAK, Amory's radio station. K.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
7:06, welcome back to Up North News Radio for this Thursday, November 2nd. We're going to talk to State Representative Francesca Hong in just a matter of seconds. But then we're going to let you know that at 7:30, we start our weekly Hometown Health segment. Dr. Kristen Lyerly is part of that. She's with us as well. Kristen, tell us about, I forgot to ask you at the end of the last hour, who are we visiting with and what are we talking about?
We are visiting with Supermom Emily Cephos from Appleton, who is going to tell us about her family's fight against a rare disease. She is such an inspiration, and I think you guys are all going to love it.
And she's taking that to that advocacy to kind of a new level.
Yeah, she's been doing a lot of organizing and a lot of advocacy work throughout her life. This just comes so naturally to her, but she's also running for Assembly District 56 up in Appleton. So taking all of that supermom energy and all of that community organizing energy to become that compassionate leader that the Appleton area really deserves.
Did you say supermom?
She is a supermom.
There, you say, we said supermom three times. When you say supermom three times, Francesca Hong appears. It's like magic. Fran, how are you?
That segue, Pat, you are the legend. I am doing very well. How are you?
Great. It's so nice to see you and hear from you. We try to rotate through as many legislators as possible to get an update on what's happening at the Capitol. And it's always great when it's time to talk with you again. And this is, look, I don't mean to frame this in the negative way. We're going to be hopeful and uplifting, but honest to goodness, Fran, there are days when it's like Groundhog Day, when again, Democrats are saying, how about if we expand Medicaid? How about if we take care of child care providers? And Republicans come back with, how about if we cut taxes for the rich and things like that? And it just really gets that Groundhog Day feel. And that's what this particular fall session feels like. So this is your safe space for about 10 seconds to say, yeah. And then we're going to get positive after that.
I just wish that they were as serious as their constituents. These are real issues that impact real lives. And when I work with folks who don't seem to be intent on serving their constituents, it's just heartbreaking more than anything else. So I'm hopeful still that they're going to continue to, you know, they'll hopefully come back and recognize that their constituents deserve that better, so they need to be better.
If you were just to take Medicaid expansion as an example, and then we're going to segue into some topics that Kristen reminded me of as well. But if you take just the Medicaid expansion, you can see how in state after state after state, of Republican states that were initially against it. It was this big temper tantrum because the Affordable Care Act had passed. But as they listened to their constituents and as they ran the numbers, they accepted the Medicaid expansion and improved health care. And it just seems like you're still hearing the same tired arguments from Republicans that you have to think they're going to start listening to their constituents pretty soon.
You would think so. But I also, the fiscal argument, the moral argument, the fact that more people are going to have health care and access to better health care, it's going to bring in dollars to our state. And it's going to help, most of all, improve rural community health centers as well. And I just, to be an island on issues like Medicaid expansion, on decriminalizing cannabis, things that are now common sense and the norm for so many of our communities, it's not going to be much longer that they can continue to ignore what the people are wanting.
So this week, to again emphasize, you know, where Democrats and progressives stand on this, there's some new legislation that's been introduced to reinforce or to restore some women's health care rights. And Kristen, you were talking about how you and I were looking at an article from Idaho, where basically law enforcement there is already, in my mind, it's state-sanctioned kidnapping, that they're arresting people for aiding, you know, somebody who wants to seek abortion care.
Yeah, I've had a number of colleagues who practice medicine in Idaho, and they've left. They tried to fight initially, and they realized that the environment was so overwhelming, so hostile, that they just couldn't stay anymore. So now not only have they lost a number of OBGYN doctors and high-risk specialists, but women are afraid to seek care, and they're afraid to talk about it. And there's a good reason why, because they are actually being... they're being tracked down. They're being punished for seeking health care.
And as a result, yeah, you exacerbate a situation. So we're very grateful that folks like Fran and others in the legislature are still saying, look, you're in the minority, but you still get to introduce these things and say where your values are. Fran, what are the most recent examples of that when it comes to Democrats and women's health care rights?
Yes, we were so proud to introduce the Reproductive Freedom Act. Senator Kelda Royce, leading voice for abortion care and access here in our state, introduced three different bills in the package. One that would restore the power of individuals to make their own healthcare choices. The other one is the patient's right to medically accurate information. And the last would be to stop publicly funding. It's called the Stop Publicly Funded Coercion Act to ensure that pregnancy crisis centers, I'm putting that in quotes, and healthcare centers are obligated to provide medically accurate information and all options to their patients. It's so important to remember that everyone deserves to feel safe when they are accessing healthcare. And right now, for those seeking abortion care, that is not the reality.
And it's not just, let's move beyond healthcare in another minute or so here before we check in with weatherology. It's you were also involved with introducing things that protect tenant rights, if I'm not mistaken, recently. So again, all these aspects of people's everyday lives rather than, you know, these things like the corporate tax code. Tell us more about that.
Housing is a human right, and it's a growing crisis here in Wisconsin, in every community, and across the country. And so when we have here in Madison, where we're a majority renter city, it's incredibly important to make sure that renters are protected. In our state, many of them who are many members in the legislature that are property owners and landlords, we have not been conducive to the rights of tenants. And in fact, we've actually passed legislation that undermined tenants' rights. And so the tenant protection package restores tenants' right to counsel, restores the ability for local communities to be able to have eviction moratoriums. It provides resources to tenants in the time of rising housing costs to make sure that they're protected.
And then one more quick thing, Kristen, from you that deals with OBGYNs, while I've got you here, there was a PolitiFact article that claimed that there's a claim that Wisconsin abortion restrictions have worsened the OBGYN shortage. And I thought it was curious that they only rated that as half true.
Well, they only talked about residency training programs, mm-hmm. and they looked at the data that is trending in that direction, but they can't definitively say that it is the abortion bans that are causing fewer people to apply to schools in states that have bans, and also for fewer people to be going into professions that treat women. So we only have 1 year of data. So I think in that regard, it's fair to say that we don't have definitive data, but we definitely have information. We have it's subjective information from interviews, people saying that they don't want to practice or train in states where there are bans. And we know that people have left the state and it's hard to recruit to the state. So given all of that information, I would call it more than half true. I would call it worrisome.
Yes, worrisome would have been a perfect rating on that one, because again, you, like you said, you're talking about something subjective, and not everybody's going to be upfront about the thing that makes them move. They may say, well, there was another opportunity over here. Well, they wouldn't have been looking for that opportunity, you know, if it hadn't been for the climate right here. Kristen, Fran, stick around. We're going to check our forecast, and then we'll take a little pause before we come back and continue our conversation here. But let me tell you first about 7 o'clock temperatures around the state. They are in the, all the way from the teens to the 30s. Lake Wissota's at 22 right now. Hayward at 17. Wausau, 26 degrees. Green Bay, 29. La Crosse, it's 27 there. Wisconsin Rapids, 23. Madison, 33. Up in Park Falls, it's 16 degrees, while in Oshkosh, it's 30, and Waukesha is at 30 degrees. Jennifer Vachitsky from Weatherology is here with us now to talk about the forecast for today and heading into the weekend. Jennifer, good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, well, it does look like we can expect to see some sunshine essentially for most today. A little more cloud cover around central Wisconsin, Wausau, and Wisconsin Rapids. Upper 40s to low 50s for southern Wisconsin, mid to low 40s from Oshkosh northward. Overall, below average for everyone today. For Friday, a warm front starts to come through. Not too much of a difference as far as the temperatures are concerned, but we'll see some cloud cover coming in tomorrow from Richland Center, Madison over towards Milwaukee. Slight chance for rain in the morning for Richland Center. Becoming mostly sunny from Oshkosh through central and west central Wisconsin, with a slight chance for some rain and snow mix in the morning hours around Emory and Baldwin. Otherwise, becoming sunny there by the afternoon. Upper 40s to low 50s for most tomorrow. Saturday, cloudy for all once again. It looks like a slight chance for some rain coming in Saturday night from Milwaukee, Waukesha, and Madison. Mid to low 50s from Richland Center southward, mid to upper 40s Oshkosh northward. Then by Sunday to round out the weekend, we'll have cloudy skies for all. Looks like a slight chance for rain coming in by the afternoon for Baldwin and Amory. Then a chance for rain for everyone by Sunday night. Highs pretty similar to Saturday, mid 50s around for southern Wisconsin, mid to upper 40s from Oshkosh once again northward.
All right, so keep that in mind for folks heading out to Lambeau Field. Again, not one of those perfect fall days, so dress accordingly. Jennifer, thank you very much. Have a great day.
You too.
All right, speaking of those Packers, again, Sunday at noon against the LA Rams. The Bucks lost to Toronto in Toronto, 130-111. That puts them at 2-2 on the season. And Giannis Antetokounmpo said, "We need days like this to realize that we have to get better. We're not there yet. We've got to keep coming together as a team." Damian Lillard says, "Obviously, it's frustrating. We're still trying to learn from each other. We're trying to learn a new staff." To which I would add, learn to put the ball in the basket. We saw your shooting figures last night. Step it up, guys. Friday against the Knicks at Fiserv Forum. Craig was going to come in. Craig, what?
I agree with you. You take the ball, put it in the hoop. And you win. I could be a basketball coach.
I'm not going to bore everybody with all the shooting statistics. Just trust me. I looked at them. We can do better. And the Bally streaming service down again last night for folks who use that instead of TV or satellite. They say they have hopefully resolved the issue so that folks can see the Bucks and understand some of the same frustrations that we're having. Badger volleyball team beat Purdue last night 3-1, and they play next Saturday night, 7 o'clock at home against Illinois. And the Texas Rangers won the World Series. Back in 60 seconds to continue our conversation with State Representative Francesca Hong and Dr. Kristen Lyerly. Back after this on Up North News Radio.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Disabled or an elderly Medicare beneficiary with questions about Part D prescription benefits? The Disability Rights Wisconsin Medicare Part D Helpline is here for you. Ask about saving money on your Part D premium, deductible, and co-pays. Call the Disability Rights Wisconsin Medicare Part D helpline anytime. 1-800-926-4862. 1-800-926-4862. Medicare's annual open enrollment runs October 15th through December 7th.
Whether we're digging a neighbor out of the snow or cooking up a weekend block party, nobody knows our communities better than us. But for the last 12 years, some politicians have carved up our neighborhoods into voting districts that serve their political interests instead of our needs. Now, they want to ram another power-grabbing bill through the legislature so they can control whose vote counts. When it comes to our districts, we draw the line. By joining together in favor of true, fair districting, we can ensure our communities thrive. Call your state senator today to tell them that the legislature should not be allowed to manipulate our district lines, period.
Paid for by the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
I love watching the light bulb go off over fans' head here. Like, oh, yeah, she's being ambushed. Representative Francesca Hong has a birthday coming up this weekend. Happy birthday, Fran.
Thank you so much, Pat. Yeah. Happy Scorpio season to you, too.
Let's see. Kristen, you want to get your greeting in here?
Happy birthday, my dear friend.
There we go. Oh, wait, we have others. Let's start with Greta Neubauer, and then there's a couple of others. Greg.
Happy birthday, Fran.
Representative Hong, this is Representative Clancy from Milwaukee, and thank you so much for being an amazing person, for believing in Wisconsin and everybody in it. Happy birthday.
Hi, Fran. Just wanted to wish you a happy birthday. Thank you so much for all you do for Wisconsin and our community and keeping up the fight along with us in the state capitol. Really appreciate you and hope you have the best birthday.
Hi, Fran. State Representative Robin Vining here. I love you so much. Happy birthday.
So, a representative sample of what your caucus thinks about you.
Was that a pun? Was that a pun?
It wasn't until you called it out. And turns out I'm a genius at that.
All right.
Now, Fran, I have to tell you, the only reason we know about the birthday is because you have to do that thing that a lot of us who have been candidates have to do and actually use your birthday for a political event, like a fundraiser or something like that. And you feel like, oh, I really want to do. Yeah, you do that. So you may as well collect a little love along the way. So there you go, before you have your big event this weekend.
Thank you so much, Pat. I so appreciate it. I really do have some of the best colleagues and some of the worst, but
And we don't even ask you to name names because, again, I think for any one of us, there might be a name on that list that surprises you going, oh, really, that person? Yeah, that person. But that's like a lot of workplaces, but you do have some good ones out there, Kristen.
And if any of our listeners are wanting to pitch in to FranFest, how can they find FranFest information?
They can check out any of our socials. We've got information. I'm so excited. Chef Yusuf Benrilla will be there, who's a big local and actually now statewide celebrity chef and makes some of the best food in the state. And I got to shout out Giant Jones Brewing, one of our only women-owned organic breweries here in Wisconsin.
I'd also like to say follow Representative Hong on it's Twitter. I'm not calling it X.
Yeah, it's Twitter. Yes.
Follow her on that social media platform. It is a joy.
It is. That's
kind of,
you know, Fran and Katie Rosenberg are two of the examples of knowing how to use it, how to speak like a real person, not a political robot, even if that's a little sharp-tongued along the way. Now, what could happen is what happens to, you know, what happened to Melissa Baldoff. You might get Senator Jesse James's, you know, knickers in a twist. More old man stuff for you there, Greg. And you know, actually get fired for mean tweets. Fran, glad that's never been an issue for you.
Oh, I wouldn't wouldn't say that quite yet, Pat.
Give it time.
Just wait.
Yeah. People like Republicans have figured out screenshots. So, mm-hmm. You know, a warning to all of my colleagues and friends out there.
Oh, yeah, very, very much so. We understand that. Let's get back to the fall legislative session here for a sec. And just to say, where are we right now? And most folks know where we started was, you know, the governor with a very comprehensive workforce development proposal. And Republicans, again, doing what they did with the governor's state budget bill, basically putting it in the trash can and saying, we're replacing the whole thing with a tax cut geared mostly for the wealthy and those who send their kids to private schools. We have speculated, maybe it was wishing out loud, that before the session is over, somehow people from, you know, both parties would sit in a room someplace and say, come on, guys, there's a $7 billion surplus. Let's create a win-win. Even I'm tired of hearing myself say that after, you know, 11 months here, but I'm still going to hold out some hope. So, Fran, if there's anything you're hearing at the Capitol, well, we're certainly all ears if you think that something good can yet come out of this fall session.
Well, it's a whirlwind time right now. We have two sessions scheduled for November, and I anticipate both of them to be heavy on the calendar with actually some bipartisan bills. There are some environmental bills that I'm looking forward to voting for. There are things that are a little bit more technical as well. But unfortunately, we're not seeing what is most critical for our state, which is higher investments in public education, in childcare, in healthcare, and ensuring that our universities of Wisconsin aren't having to lay off more workers, take away programs for students. I think what was missing, and we haven't talked as much about in that special session package, was funding for the UW Engineering Building. This building is critical and has the support of people that I was shocked to see: Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, chambers across the entire state. People know that investing in our universities is one of the best way to ensure that we have people who want to stay, work, and thrive in our state. And unfortunately, the Republicans said no to that too. And so as we're going through many committee hearings and trying to get these calendars bulked up before folk come back in January, I am staying nauseously optimistic that there will be some consensus on the bills that will actually improve people's lives and livelihoods. And Democrats won't stop fighting for that.
I'm trying so hard not to laugh over there, but that was a brand new line. I've never heard the line nauseously optimistic before.
I'm stealing that. I'm absolutely stealing that.
I can't take full credit. There was a phenomenal candidate up north, John, who wrote me a note thanking me for supporting him. And he wrote, he's remaining nauseously optimistic. And so it so perfectly describes how I feel. Like, there's just always so many emotions when it comes to Wisconsin politics. And I always try to ground myself in that one.
So stay tuned Monday for the rebranded Up North News Radio, Nauseously Optimistic, with Pat and friends, come Monday. Kristen, do you feel like, as you talk to folks up there, prospective candidates and others, especially on the notion of healthcare and women's rights, that there's anything that can be done yet in this session, or is it just a matter of continuing to cheer Fran and her colleagues on until we go through the next cycle?
I think it's a matter of keeping everybody afloat and thinking about the future. And really, that just really underscores how important fall of 2024 is. Mm-hmm. There's so much optimism and so much enthusiasm, and we are ready.
Speaking of which, I believe Emily Cephas is here. Let me bring her into the conversation early, because Fran, I know you wanted to talk to her, and this way you don't have to hang around through the next commercial break. Fran, Emily, Fran.
Hi, nice to meet you officially, I guess.
So good to see you. I know, I'm so glad we're going beyond our DMs here. This is very exciting.
Out of the DMs and into real life.
Emily, yes, there's been, again, talking about using social media, you've been using that rather effectively, and it's won you a fan base already between Kristen and Fran and the others.
Thank you.
It turns out that when a working mom just gets, you know, a couple of free moments to use Twitter or other social media, you can do some good things on there.
We're multitaskers, aren't we?
Yes.
Y'all
really are. So with that, Representative Hong, we'll let you go now that you got a chance to greet Emily. Again, happy birthday, and thank you so much for all you do, and thanks for visiting with us early in the morning.
Happy birthday.
Thank you all so much. Have a great rest of your day.
All right. Coming up next, we've got Hometown Health with Dr. Kristen Lyerly and Emily Seffel. Sarah, we'll be right back. Like it's never understood.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Justin Finch. For the first time since Israel closed all borders to Gaza following the October 7th Hamas attack, some people are allowed to leave. ABC's Ian Pannell in Sderot, Israel.
Up to 7,000 foreign nationals expected to be able to finally escape from Gaza after weeks of war and waiting. As people desperately search for their names on an approved list posted each morning, hoping their nightmare will soon end.
President Biden Wednesday in Minnesota, responding to a call for a ceasefire, said he thinks a humanitarian pause is necessary. Controversial Republican Congressman George Santos is staying in Congress after a vote to expel him failed. He still faces nearly two dozen felony charges. 45,000 students in Portland, Oregon are out of school today. Public schools are closed in the city with the teachers on strike. This is ABC News.
Disabled or an elderly Medicare beneficiary with questions about Part D prescription benefits? The Disability Rights Wisconsin Medicare Part D Helpline is here for you. Ask about...
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehow. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. An inmate died at the Waupun State Prison on Monday. That's the third death at Waupun in 4 months. The Dodge County Medical Examiner says autopsy reports won't be ready for a couple of months. The Waupun Prison has been in lockdown since March. The Journal Sentinel reports about 1,000 inmates have to stay in their cells around the clock. Families say they're concerned about health care at the prison. Wisconsin Supreme Court Chief Justice Annette Ziegler delivered the annual State of the Judiciary Address in Lake Geneva on Wednesday. The veteran conservative justice didn't spend much time addressing her clashes with the court's new liberal majority. Chief Ziegler instead focused on improving court security and mental health treatment options for offenders. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
Disabled or an elderly Medicare beneficiary with questions about Part D prescription benefits? The Disability Rights Wisconsin Medicare Part D Helpline is here for you. Ask about saving money on your Part D premium, deductible, and co-pays. Call the Disability Rights Wisconsin Medicare Part D Helpline anytime. 1-800-926-4862. 1-800-926-4862. Medicare's annual open enrollment runs October 15th through December 7th.
Whether we're digging a neighbor out of the snow or cooking up a weekend block party, nobody knows our communities better than us. But for the last 12 years, some politicians have carved up our neighborhoods into voting districts that serve their political interests instead of our needs. Now,
here's your updated forecast. Mainly cloudy today, with highs around 41. Southwesterly winds, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, lows around 28. Slight chance for scattered showers. Tomorrow, 46. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 23.
Disabled or an elderly Medicare beneficiary with questions about Part D prescription benefits? The Disability Rights Wisconsin Medicare Part D Helpline is here for you. Ask about saving money on your Part D premium, deductible, and co-pays. Call the Disability Rights Wisconsin Medicare Part D Helpline anytime. 1-800-926-4862. 1-800-926-4862. Medicare's annual open enrollment runs October 15th through December 7th.
Whether we're digging a neighbor out of the snow... cooking up.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Disabled or an elderly Medicare beneficiary with questions about Part D prescription benefits? The Disability Rights Wisconsin Medicare Part D Helpline is here for you. Ask about saving money on your Part D premium, deductible, and co-pays. Call the Disability Rights Wisconsin Medicare Part D Helpline anytime. 1-800-926-4862. 1-800-926-4862. Medicare's annual open enrollment runs October 15th through December 7th.
Whether we're digging a neighbor out of the snow... cooking up a weekend block party, nobody knows our communities better than us. But for the last 12 years, some politicians have carved up our neighborhoods into voting districts that serve their political interests instead of our needs. Now, they want to ram another power-grabbing bill through the legislature so they can control whose vote counts. When it comes to our districts, we draw the line. By joining together in favor of true fair districting, we can ensure our communities thrive. Call your state senator today to tell them that the legislature should not be allowed to manipulate our district lines, period.
Paid for by the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign.
From the Mississippi to the Apple and points eastward, you're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station. K.
Look, motherhood is tough enough as it is, and then put a sick child into the mix here. It's something that I know extremely well. As somebody who had a little brother that was born with issues and passed away when he was 9 and a half and I was 14. And my mom was a single mom through a lot of that time. A lot of appointments, a lot of hard conversations. And it takes a lot for a mom in any position, much less that one, to then go a step further and be an advocate either for a cause or for a race or what have you. And so taking that kind of a healthcare knowledge base and background is what takes us into this week's Hometown Health segment and Kristen Lyerly and her guest, Emily Cephos. And Kristen, I'll let you take Emily's intro from here.
Yeah, I don't even know what more to say, Pat. That was just really beautiful. And thank you for sharing that personal angle. Nobody knows it better than someone who's lived it. And Emily Cephos is living it. And I wanted to give her the opportunity to tell the story about her family and some of the incredible work that she's doing. So, Emily, welcome to Hometown Health.
Yes, good morning.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here this morning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course. So tell us about your family.
Oh, yeah. So I have three little kids. They are 8, 6, and 5. And our middle kiddo was born with neurofibromatosis. And so it's NF for short, long, confusing word, but it is a rare disease that affects 1 in 2,500 people born, and it can manifest in a myriad of ways. So yeah, he's 6 and vivacious and creative and 6. but we also like are navigating being a family with a child with a rare disease. And so that's been something that we've been learning as we go and supporting each other, but we are chaotic and noisy and have a lot of fun in between, I guess.
But what a learning curve you have to go on when you get that kind of a diagnosis. Can you tell us a bit more, and Kristen jump in as well, as far as, you know, that it's not really, from what I'm reading here, it's not a single medical disorder, but different conditions dealing with development of tumors that can affect, you know, the nervous system. What did you have to learn on the fly?
Well, so Nico was actually diagnosed when he was 6 months old, and I took him to his pediatrician appointment with my daughter, who was a year and a half at that age, time. And he kind of like nonchalantly mentioned that we should get genetic testing because he had cafe au lait spots, which are just like brown blotches. They look like coffee with milk. They're just brown blotches across his torso. And he said that's indicative of neurofibromatosis. And it was kind of like off the cuff. And then I left and I was like, huh, I've never heard that word before. But then I started Googling things, which I would not. To my former self, would not recommend that. But we ended up receiving a diagnosis some like 8 to 10 weeks later when we got those results back, and it turned out that he has NF1. So like you said, that can result in tumors growing along any nerve throughout his whole body. So some of these are like subcutaneous, where they're just like little tiny bumps that grow along your skin. And then others can be larger, more complex, and those are called plexiform tumors. And those can grow, they continue to grow your entire life. You're born with them. And so they can sometimes infringe on airways or into your brain or whatever. So anywhere throughout your whole body, tumors could be growing anywhere when you have NF. And there's so much unknown. So it was a lot of research, a lot of stuff. And it was at one point when we got the diagnosis, I was like, Nick, get us a bottle of wine with my husband. And I was like, we're crying about this tonight. And then we're going to do the work, because what do you do when your kid has a rare disease that there's no cure for? You just, to feel some sort of like semblance of control, we were like, we're raising the funds, we're raising awareness, and that's, I'm wearing my shirt today. I know you can't see it on the radio, but forever wearing like this hat to make sure that my son knows that he is cherished and loved and supported and has the best team around him. So.
And you mentioned your pediatrician kind of nonchalantly said that. And, you know, having been in that situation, you, I recognize that when you're talking with someone and you're about to share some information that has the potential to really change someone's life, it's hard to introduce that concept, but it is life-changingly hard to walk away from that appointment as a family and think about what the implications are for the rest of your life. So you got that bottle of wine, you got the diagnosis, you got the bottle of wine, and then what?
We decided that we were gonna just fight like hell to support the scientists. There's really promising research coming out of both private and publicly funded sources. So we have, together as we call ourselves Team Nico, we have raised over $100,000 since the diagnosis. We do advocacy stuff all the time. So we're always out in the community trying to wear our apparel and talk to folks about NF. And we have been to Washington to lobby for federal dollars. So like Nick and I are trying to like just do all that we can in whatever way we can while also being busy parents. And then we also take Nico up. He does his specialist appointments up at the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota. And we're kind of like, we're living life. And as he's growing, things are changing. Conversations are changing. And as, you know, his NF develops, we're navigating those waters too. So it's just, it's forever. We're swimming along together. Sometimes it seems up, you know, we're trying to go upstream and it's just, there's a strong current. So I don't know.
What does that mean for Nico in terms of, you know, day-to-day life? I mean, or is this a chronic pain condition? Is this about movement?
Yeah, that's a good question. It can be. Nico's really fortunate. He has a plexiform above his eyelid that we're monitoring that's going to need some, like, surgical debulking later. But for now, he leads a pretty normal life. We do know a lot of kiddos that are on, like, maintenance chemo that they, because it has been shown to reduce the growth rate or of like plexiforms that are infringing on airways or within the brain. We know other people that live with chronic pain, others that are just, you know, covered in these cutaneous things, which are very disfiguring. And so we are super duper fortunate, but we also know a lot of incredible NF heroes that have had a lot of challenges that they deal with. And so we're dedicated to doing what we can for Nico, of course, but understanding there's a benefit that all of our friends that we've met along the way here are going to feel. So
you've got two other kiddos at home. Nico has a big sister and a little brother.
Yes.
And you have parents and community members and other family members who are all involved with Team Nico. Mm-hmm. How has that changed their lives? And how do you all work together toward this common goal of finding a cure and supporting Nico and others who have this rare condition?
We are super fortunate. The first year that we, when we received a diagnosis, we were living in Nashville and we had family, like grandparents and other friends that actually live up in Appleton that we had never met before that came down, and they've been a part of this journey from the get-go and are enthusiastic and supportive. So like they're cheering us on and they're offering us a shoulder to lean on when we need it. And it's really been like incredible to see this coalescing love around this little boy. In the meantime, we've also like gathered up folks that like know someone with NF, but have never like done any sort of advocacy or fundraising, that are feeling empowered and are feeling like they're a part of something bigger that's working toward that cure that we're all hopeful that we'll see. So it's been a really, really cool dynamic. And as we continue to grow, it's just, I feel so grateful. I never know what to say. And I always tell them that. I'm like, how do I express to you my gratitude? It's incredible.
So how do you take that advocacy then and take that energy and then say that these issues are motivating me to do even more, and in this case, run for legislature in the 56th Assembly District next year?
Yeah, I feel like it was the cart before the horse kind of thing. I was already like politically involved because I saw in my community in Nashville just like the abhorrent effects that certain executive orders and legislation had on people I cared about. So like I was already an ally and an advocate in that way that was showing up in those spaces. But I think when Nico was diagnosed and it lit more of a fire, because I was like, I care that much about my son because that is my flesh and blood and my family. But there are so many other people that are experiencing all this other hurt. And so we always want to be the voice for the people that might not be able to raise their voices themselves. It was like a very natural transition for me, because like I'm an empath. I feel a lot. I feel the world in a lot of ways, but I am forever looking to say, how is that person that might not have a seat at the table impacted by what's happening, right? Like, how are these NF people living their lives in a way that could be improved if we do X, Y, or Z? How are, you know, it runs together toward the same goal. And that's a more inclusive community that is supportive of you, no matter what you look like, what you've experienced, where you come from, all of that.
But Emily, yes, you know what's ahead. And Kristen, you lived it, and we are seeing it in this fall legislative session about something as basic as supporting childcare. That what you are hearing actual living, breathing legislators say right now is, well, if more of you moms would just stay at home, we wouldn't need childcare. Kristen, how could you run for office leaving those four boys at home? Emily, you're going to get the same questions. I don't say this to get you guys riled up, but to give you a chance to say to these folks, hey, Emily, fill in the blank from here.
I've already gotten that question as early as it is in this campaign. And I would say that, like, my pushback is that moms get stuff done. Moms get stuff done all day. They resolve conflict. They are able to multitask like you've never seen, with different calendars and expectations. They're able to be flexible and adjust. So, like, when we're talking, the expectation that women are supposed to just sit on the sidelines, especially when a lot of the legislation is directly impacting us as women or our families, that is long. We are not going back to those days when we don't have a seat at the table. It is too important. And women are realizing that. And like Chris, like Dr. Lyerly did, and like a lot of women, you know, like Representative Hong, like, we are stepping up because we recognize the dire straits that we're in and that our kids deserve better. And like the little people, it's for the little people. It's for their future. That's why I'm here.
It is for the little people. And my little people, two of them are in their 20s now. And I look at their lives and I look at the things that are important to them. And they like their friends. They like their little brothers. They like their families and they want to be more engaged. They don't support this old fashioned traditional man works, woman stays home business. They want to be part of all of that. So I really don't see this as like a gender thing. I see this as we all together as a community can raise our families, can create this environment that we all want to see. So to me, this is not like what they are trying to represent is not at all what we see and feel in our own households and what generations to come are expressing they want to see in their futures.
It's a good point. Yeah. I would agree.
What are the issues that you are specifically focusing on as you are looking at your campaign and it's unfolding with 1 year to go? It's 1 year.
Yeah, I know. I was looking at my timeline and I was I am focusing a lot on, I mean, our public education system and the way that it's funded is, that formula is antiquated and they've been operating in the red for far too long. When it comes to our communities, I've been talking to, board members at the like town council, city council and county board. And we were talking about what levies look like and how, we can continue to provide services with these growing communities in the Fox Valley. So that's going to be something that I continue to learn about from leaders and, speak to. And then, reproductive health, is something that I am going to fight like hell for. Honestly, I've got school age kids. So we are talking about, like, the Second Amendment is going to be huge for us going forward, and just like creating societies and communities where we're all, no matter who we love, no matter what, you know, like where we come from, what we believe, we are welcomed here and we feel safe and we feel valued. And that's the gist.
For more information about Emily, her website is Emily Sefos, and that's TSEFFOS.com. And you can learn more about neurofibromatosis at CTF. That's for Children's Tumor Foundation, CTF.org. Emily, thank you very much. It was great to meet you.
Yeah, thank you so much. Have a great day. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you have a wonderful story to tell, and looking forward to hearing more of it over the course of this next year. So when we come back, Luke Mathers will join us. In the meantime, head over to upnorthnewswi.com and sign up for that newsletter. We'll be back.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Disabled or an elderly Medicare beneficiary with questions about Part D prescription benefits? The Disability Rights Wisconsin Medicare Part D Helpline is here for you. Ask about saving money on your Part D premium, deductible, and co-pays. Call the Disability Rights Wisconsin Medicare Part D Helpline anytime. 1-800-926-4862. 1-800-926-4862. Medicare's annual open enrollment runs October 15th through December 7th.
Whether we're digging a neighbor out of the snow or cooking up a weekend block party, nobody knows our communities better than us. But for the last 12 years, some politicians have carved up our neighborhoods into voting districts that serve their political interests instead of our needs. Now, they want to ram another power-grabbing bill through the legislature so they can control whose vote counts. When it comes to our districts, we draw the line. By joining together in favor of true, fair districting, we can ensure our communities thrive. Call your state senator today to tell them that the legislature should not be allowed to manipulate our district lines, period.
Paid for by the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Maxine Nightingale turns 71 today. Any excuse for a Civic Media dance party, which is broken out here on the live video feed that you can see on the Civic Media Facebook page or the Facebook page for Up North News. And several other places until they yank us for dropping this disco ball and showing off our moves. Luke Mathers, how are you?
I'm good, Pat. I'm good. Glad to be with you on this Thursday morning.
Where are you? It's I'm trying to see. I see a blank monitor behind you because I know the Madison studio is now. Oh, are you in that conference room there next to it? Okay.
You have many monitors there.
So many monitors to look at. Todd Alba, yesterday, but he was at the window, so we could see the state capitol over his shoulder. So we have to put something distracting in that monitor behind you here. I guess.
That would have been better framing. I'm upset with myself that I didn't do that. Now,
no, you're a radio guy. Don't listen. The TV guy is just always gonna find something to nitpick at.
Yeah.
I feel like that Room Raider account. Remember that Room Raider on Twitter would look at people's guest appearances on TV and then rate the room. I mean, mm-hmm. look at Kristen right now. Has a lamp balancing in the left, some fine artwork in the center. There, she's moved over a bit, so she's properly framed. 9 out of 10.
And then there's me.
Hotel, sweet.
And then Greg with an empty chair behind him that really should have somebody just eating a bag of popcorn. And we never know who it is. It's just some guy that just sits there, actually cracks peanuts, throws the shells on the floor.
Remember when Clint Eastwood talked to an empty chair at the Republican? That's Barack Obama right behind me. I got Barack Obama. Hey, Barry. You want to go hang out after this? Get a coffee? Barack Obama.
I was talking to an old former coworker of mine, Tanita, and she's in South Carolina, and she's offered to be my anger translator, much like
Key
and Peele. Yeah. She'd make a great anger translator. We could use somebody like that here. Coming up next on most of these Civic Media stations, you've got Earl Ingram. In Wausau, you've got Chad Holmes, Madison Stephanie Miller, James and the Gang in Wisconsin Rapids. They're all followed by As Goes Wisconsin with one Greg Bach and Jane Matinere.
This guy.
Todd Alba at noon, Matt Flynn at 2, Devils at 4, Maggie Dawn at 6. Normally on these Thursdays, we talk to Luke or Aaron or Sam or whoever will walk by the studio and say, hey, what else is on Civic Media? So, Luke, thanks for being our willing victim. What else is on Civic Media that we can talk about?
I just want to say really quick, Luke, you're so handsome and so good at your job. And
try to butter me up. Every opportunity he gets on the air.
Thank you for being here. Luke's my boss.
Oh, okay, okay. Didn't realize Greg, there was a direct line here. Okay.
He doesn't miss an opportunity there. Okay. But I appreciate all of that, Greg.
All right,
We got the Cripescast this weekend, noon across the Civic Media Network. But one of the fun things that you can now listen to, the Milwaukee Bucks season tipped off last week. Unfortunately, a little bit of a struggle last night in Toronto. The guys getting it together. They're going to be playing the Heat on Friday night. Or no, excuse me, the Knicks on Friday night. They played the Heat earlier this week. Mm-hmm. The Knicks on Friday night for the first in-season tournament. So you can catch the Milwaukee Bucks on 6 Civic Media stations across the network.
Wait a minute. We have to talk about this in-season tournament.
Yeah.
Sure.
I mean,
what do you want to know?
Everything. Because I'm still not quite sure how we're going to do we want to get into this right now? Do you know everything about it?
Everything about it? No, but
can you tell us enough about it?
I'm more than happy to talk about the Milwaukee Bucks. So let's talk through it. What are your concerns?
You just say anything. I'm just watching Kristen's eyes glaze over here. She's already
I don't
writing
know anything about this. I haven't even heard about this.
Is this like in soccer where they like all of a sudden just
that's
stop
what,
and
just
go?
What I was going to say. Yes, they have like they stop the regular season and they do this kind of tournament thing, but in this one, the tournament is with themselves.
Well, they don't stop the regular season either. All of these games count for the in-season games count towards the tournament record and then the placement for that tournament. So it's going to be interesting to see how it unfolds, but this is going to be the first ever NBA Cup. So you've got the Larry O'Brien Trophy at the end of the NBA Finals, mm-hmm. but now teams will also be eligible for the NBA Cup after the in-season tournament. So there's a matchup with your own conference. You have several in-season games circled on the calendar that then will make you eligible for the in-season tournament later in the year, in the season. And it'll take place in Las Vegas, where potentially there may be an expansion team coming for the NBA in the next couple of years.
Anything that... Oh, hold, Greg. I just want to get this one thought
course,
in. Anything that I don't know, maybe justice isn't the word that I'm looking for, but here's what I want to say. The Arizona Diamondbacks just won the World Series.
No.
In the regular season, or I'm sorry, the Texas Rangers just won the World Series against the Arizona Diamondbacks. The Arizona Diamondbacks finished 16 games behind the Dodgers in the standings in the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just not sure that format is working. So if some kind of another in-season tournament provide some justice to people who actually go and win day in and day out, you know, that's a good thing. So I'll give this NBA thing a chance.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how the inaugural season goes for it. I think it will bring an interesting dynamic to load management for some of the all-stars and the big players that like Giannis Antetokounmpo, Damian Lillard. It's been questioned if they're taking days off throughout the season because, like you said, as soon as the playoffs come, any team that's in the playoffs could win. You could have the Diamondbacks or you could have the Miami Heat last year in the NBA go really far when not having the best in-season record. So they're trying to incentivize more of the players to take the in-season games seriously and have a lot more on the line day in and day out.
Yeah, Tony writes in, it's like the FA Cup in England for soccer. And Tony also wrote in, Charlie interviewed Nate Bergatz, who hosted Saturday Night Live last Saturday, if people want to go and hear it. So, you gasped, Greg, you gasped.
Nate Bergatz is like one of the best comedians, period.
Mm-hmm.
He's so good.
Taylor Tomlinson just got announced as the new late night host as well, following Stephen Colbert. So, young comedians.
They're bringing it back. Because they canceled that show and they were going to reboot at midnight, which and very happy about this.
Yeah, Taylor Tomlinson. Now I feel like inadequate because I'm also the same age as her and she's got a late night national TV show. So I got to start getting a little bit more motivated around here again.
Speaking of ages, I did not want to embarrass Fran, but you know we had Francesca Hung on. We wished her a happy birthday.
Mm-hmm. FranFest this weekend.
My humble moment this weekend was going, how old is she? And then I looked, and my older daughter turned 35 on Monday. She turns 35 this weekend. She's 4 days older than or younger than my older daughter.
Okay.
So I won't tell you how young I am.
I'm not feeling it at all. Not feeling old.
I don't like you anymore, Luke Mathers.
Anyway, on that note, Kristen, Greg, Luke, thank y'all. Hope you have a great day.
Yep, you too.
It's going to be wonderful.
And Kristen's like, all right.
Kristen played along so nice. Tomorrow, Kia Vakil, Dan Schumacher, and Mark Jacob. Now, have a great Thursday. We'll see you tomorrow.
From the heart of the St. Croix Valley, we're in touch with you. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station. The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed.
Disabled or an elderly Medicare beneficiary with questions about Part D prescription benefits? The Disability Rights Wisconsin Medicare Part D helpline is here for you. Ask about saving money on your Part D premium, deductible, and co-pays. Call the Disability Rights Wisconsin Medicare Part D helpline anytime. 1-800-926-4862. 1-800-926-4862. Medicare's annual open enrollment runs October 15th through December 7th.
Whether we're digging a neighbor out of the snow or cooking up a weekend block party, nobody knows our communities better than us. But for the last 12 years, some politicians have carved up our neighborhoods into voting districts that serve their political interests instead of our needs. Now, they want to ram another power-grabbing bill through the legislature so they can control whose vote counts. When it comes to our districts, we draw the line. By joining together in favor of true, fair districting, we can ensure our communities thrive. Call your state